Mark is back with us this morning after two surgeries this week. He left, wasn't here for service C last weekend because of some circulation problems. Two surgeries later, here he is. I asked him in the hospital, I said, "So Mark, you're going to take a weekend off?" And he said, "If I can get there, I'm going to play." So praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see you, Mark. Would you please turn on your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to talk about God as sealer today. We're continuing to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, as we have looked at already the ministry of God the Son, God the Father, now finishing up God the Holy Spirit, as we do our best to understand the way God has revealed himself as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal and have existed from eternity. And they are working even today, alive and working in our world and working in the lives of people. We're going to read Ephesians 1 today as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit to seal God's children in Him so that we might know we have eternal life as the Word of God promises. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Follow along in your Bibles, please, as I read aloud. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him, verse 11, we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. I guess you'll find your bulletins a note-taking guide. Turn there with me, please. Here's the life truth about which we shall be speaking. Firstly, one must believe. One must believe the gospel, must believe the good news of Jesus Christ in order to experience the sealing work of the Holy Spirit in one's soul. Firstly, one must believe, and that's not as simple as we could make it sound. It is meaningful. It is life altering. It captures all of our today and our tomorrow and our forever when we choose whether or not we're going to believe in Jesus Christ. Look how the Bible says it here in Ephesians. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Firstly, one must believe. And the way you know whether or not you believed is, if you believed in Jesus Christ, it changes your life. You become a different person. Often I'll hear people discussing whether or not they have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. I'll just give you this little simple trick to consider. If something didn't happen in your life today because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. If your today wasn't different than it would have been without Jesus, then you don't know Jesus, because to believe in Jesus Christ is to change everything about a person's life. It is primarily to believe the message of the gospel, the message of the sacrifice of the Son of God, that Jesus Christ died for human sin. The gospel actually begins, the good news of Jesus Christ begins in God's wrath for human sin. We are sinners. The Bible says that the gospel is offensive because it begins right here. It begins with this nugget of truth. We are sinners, and God's wrath toward our sin was borne out on the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so in his death on the cross, picture with me, the blood of our Lord coming down that cross, as the ones who were on Calvary's Hill that day saw that it is in the blood of Jesus that you see the real awful consequence of human sin. It is in that suffering on the cross that Jesus endured for our sakes, and the death of his body and the spilling out of his blood that is the evidence of what your sin and my sin has done. Look at me again in verse 7. Here's what we must believe in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood. I was talking to a woman years ago who said, you know, one of the things I don't like about you Baptists is you're always singing those bloody songs. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood. Finish it with me. Lose all their guilty stains. It is in the blood of Jesus that believers in Christ are born again. So Christians of whatever stripe we may be, we recognize it is that we see the gospel pictured more clearly than any other way in picturing the blood of our Lord flowing down that cross as the life left his body and he endured the suffering and the shame of the cross. It is in that blood that we find forgiveness for our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So it begins, firstly, we must believe. We must recognize that what God said about us is true, that we are hopeless sinners, that we've offended a holy God. And there is now between us this gulf between the sinner and God that we cannot overcome. We can't jump high enough or far enough to overcome this gulf. So God erected a cross on which he permitted people like you and me to murder his son, so that our sins might be forgiven in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we must believe that gospel to be born again, nothing less. There isn't any other way. There isn't any other hope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We must believe that humbling gospel, that I am a sinner who can't save myself, and I was the one who sent Jesus to the cross, and yet God gave his son so that all who believe in him might have eternal life. If you today would confess your sin, your need for a Savior, and ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life, literally asking to become the boss of your life, you can be born again. You can go over and look at Bill's t-shirt, Bill's Rosen t-shirt today that says, Jesus is my boss. Bill's been born again in Jesus Christ, and when he was sealed by the Holy Spirit for God's eternal possession. But firstly, we must believe. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I hope that this morning before you leave, you'll talk to one of us and let us show you the way of hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our wonderful computer operator, anticipating where I was going nextly, points out that having believed, the Holy Spirit seals that believer in him. Notice again how the Bible says it in Ephesians 1. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession and the praise of his glory. When you look at that passage of Scripture and you see the word sealed, it's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit to make final what God has determined to happen. In the original language, you know what the word sealed meant? It meant sealed. It meant you're just sealed in God. You belong to him. It's not by your ability to keep the faith. It's by the seal of the Holy Spirit that God put on your soul the moment you repented of your sin and made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. God, the Holy Spirit, came into your life. The Bible says when you become a believer that the Holy Spirit literally comes to live inside your body, and the Holy Spirit seals you for God for eternity. You belong to him, and nothing can break that loose. You, as a follower of Jesus, will not always be on top of your game. You'll not always be living in victory. We struggle. We fall back. We jump up again. God's Holy Spirit helps us continue in the journey. And we're not going to make it because you're going to make it. We're going to make it because God has sealed us for eternity. We belong to him. All right, I need my volunteers. Come on up here, volunteers. All right, I got a couple of volunteers here. For those of you who don't know, this is Isabel and Bobby IV. They're my friends. They like to go up to the fish camp with me. We have a boat. We do a little fishing and stuff. Now, when we walk down to the end of the driveway to go down to the boat, what do? We come down to the edge of the road. What do? We stop, and we look both ways. And then what do?
I know. Then we go.
If there's nothing coming, then we go, right? All right, go ahead. Go ahead. You see, Isabel or Bobby might step out in front of a car or a truck unless I were to stop them. Let's say we'd have the good sense to watch out for it. But here's the point. These little youngins are not secure because they're holding on to my hands.
Come on.
These little youngins are secure because I'm holding on to their hands.
Right.
Now, whenever you use a human example to portray something that's in the heart of God, it has its fallbacks. It doesn't work perfectly. I'm not God, and I'm not suggesting I am. But I want you to know the reason why these little youngins are not going to hit by a car is because Bob has a hold of their hands.
Yeah.
And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you also are saved by Him.
Yeah.
It is not because you took a hold of His hand. It's because He sealed you in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, go sit down.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sit down. All right, go ahead. It's the sealing of the Holy Spirit that preserves us. We still long for the virtue and the purity and the holiness of God. That's what He does. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us to call us toward God to live victorious lives. But we're sealed in Him and He is our security. Notice with me nextly. Having believed the Holy Spirit is God's pledge for one salvation. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge for one salvation. Look again in these verses. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. All right, now any of y'all who have ever bought a house, which would be a bunch of us in a room, you know that when you try to strike a deal to buy a house, you fill out this buy-sell agreement, and you sign your name to it, and you put a check along with it, $500,000, something like that, and it is usually referred to as earnest money. And in fact, this word is translated pledge in the New American Standard. In the King James, is translated earnest, because it's that kind of word. And what it means essentially is that it is the down payment. The Holy Spirit being in your life when you became a believer in Christ is the down payment on your eternal life with God. It is the pledge of God. When you're filling out that buy-sell agreement to buy a house, you're writing this check as your expression of, I'm so committed to this that if we can make this deal, I'm putting money in it now just as an example or as proof that I'm intending to follow through on the commitment that I've made. I'm making my pledge to you. Here's my earnest money in that I am earnest on what I'm doing. It probably is even a better translation of that word would be our word guarantee. It is this idea that God is, when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, God gave you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's promise, God's guarantee that you are His possession, you are His inheritance, and that you belong to Him. I was talking with somebody a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, and someone said, well, what do you plan to preach on the 25th? I said, well, I'm going to preach about God being our sealer, about the Holy Spirit being the pledge of God for our salvation. And he said, well, I don't really believe in eternal security and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you come the 25th and you will, because it's right here in the Bible.
Yeah.
It is God's pledge on our lives that he is going to bring us into the kingdom with Him. Now, here's the thing. The idea behind putting your earnest money down on a buy-sell agreement to buy a house is that you are giving your word that you're going to follow through in this deal if you can strike a deal. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
You are giving your word backed up by some amount of money to say, I'm 100% into this deal if we can make it work. And this Bible word that's translated pledge or earnest or guarantee is the same thing. Listen, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and God sent the Holy Spirit in your life, you receive God's guarantee, and it is God's word that is a power in our lives when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Listen to me here. I'll say it this way. If a believer can be born again and then lost, then our God does not keep His word. And that ain't no God to be using the vernacular on you for a moment. The fact is, if a believer in Christ can lose what he couldn't gain anyway, only God can give it to you. If you can lose that, then our God is not a God of His Word. The Bible says that God put down His earnest money. God made His guarantee. God gave His pledge that you now belong to Him. You're His forever. And so to be born again in Jesus Christ is to be sealed for eternity by the Holy Spirit as God made the down payment on your life. Now, you and I can buy something and put down a down payment. Maybe things go wrong. Maybe things happen wrongly. It didn't happen the way we thought they would. And we could have to let something go back because we couldn't keep up our payments. But our God has never yet gone back on any pledge He's ever made. You can trust your life to God because if you're born again in Jesus Christ, God has money on you. And you belong to Him. You can't lose what God has given you. Notice with me, thirdly, having believed, the Holy Spirit points to God's ultimate redemption. Notice again in these verses of Scripture, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. You are God's inheritance. We get all excited and wrapped up about things here on earth. We chase after those things which are illusory. We chase after those things which are temporal. They're passing away. We look for honors and degrees and money and cars and houses and all these things after which we go in life, and they're passing away. Perhaps you might pass on some of them to your inheritors as an inheritance that they might receive. You should know that the only thing on this earth that matters to God are His people. He's not coming back for gold. He's not coming back for stars or moons or planets. He's not coming back for animals or anything else. God's coming back for His children. You are His inheritance. You are what matters to God. You are the ones in whom He has invested Himself and His Spirit and gave His Son to save you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you're the only thing that matters to God on this earth. You're it. There's nothing else. Nothing means anything to God. We get excited about shiny new cars and toys and stuff, and we get excited about this and that and chase after the things of this world. They're meaningless. They mean nothing to God. It's just you, people, human beings, God's coming back for. Ultimately, to put that in its proper theological context, it is He's coming back for His church. Those who've been born again in Jesus Christ and are numbered among His people. Those who have believed in Him in ages past. Those all over the world today who love Him and serve Him. And those who will be saved in the days to come before Jesus returns. All those are His church. And He's coming again to receive us because we are His inheritance. We are His possession. We are what matters to God. It is, we are alone, just His people, or only that matters. He's not coming back for anything else, just His people. And if you've been born again in Jesus Christ, you are God's inheritance. You are God's possession. You are the one for whom He sent Jesus to die. You matter to Him. So please remember your place in God's world as His inheritance, and that you have received that by the work of the Holy Spirit, who has sealed you for eternity, that you might be born again. In a moment, our worship team is going to lead us in a hymn of response. If you'd like to know how to become a Christian, please come during response time. We have some folks who'd love to walk to the back of the room with you and quietly and respectfully show you how to give your life to Jesus Christ and be born again. You may have that supernatural experience of God the Holy Spirit coming to live inside you to give you eternal life and seal you for God's eternity. Won't you today repent and believe? Join me, please. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus, who the Bible describes as holding in His hands all of the glory of heaven, yet it was not something to be grasped. He let go of it in order to come to the earth to die for human sin. The ones who are hopeless found hope in Jesus. The ones who are dead have found life in Jesus. We praise You, God, and thank You for Him, and pray that today that any among us who are not yet followers of Jesus would be born again. Their names would be written in Your Lamb's Book of Life, and that You'd seal them for Your own possession, we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Now, worship bands, you lead us in a moment of response. If you'd indeed like to know how to become a Christian, please come let me know. If you want to speak to another worshiper, this is your moment to do it. This song we're going to sing this morning should delight your soul. Let's rejoice together as we celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ.